fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it. So great to have you. It's a Monday, man. Setting the tone for a whole nother week. I just saw the comment, the best Monday of the entire week. I'd have to agree with that as well. So wonderful to have you with us. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV and live streaming and podcasting. However you watch or listen, it's so wonderful to have you along for the ride. Your Millennial General reporting for duty like we do every single day. What a weekend, man. It was both on the political side and the personal side. It was just chaotic. It was crazy. And, you know, that's just the way things roll, I guess, in today's time. So first and foremost, hopefully you had a great weekend as well. I am beyond exhausted right now, but that's what we do. It's okay. It's fun in a good way, like in a really good way. Sometimes you just wear yourself out. But it was a busy weekend, and for all the dorks, I always say all for the freaks and geeks, man, you and I, we unite on this weekend, because this past weekend was Renaissance Festival in South Central Kansas area, where I'm based out of for my flagship radio station and where I live. And Renaissance Festival is always fun, and I don't care. I'm going to give a little shameless plug right now. The wife, Mrs. Voice of Reason, has been working really hard behind the scenes. She's, as of about a year ago, officially launched her business working on products that she's been selling, and she started the circuit scene of fairs, and she's gone to a few different fairs. We had a booth at our Renaissance Festival this past weekend here in the area, which was awesome because now I get to spend 2 days full at the Renaissance Festival. Now, the sad part is that I'm stuck in a booth and don't get to go and just enjoy and just go meandering about, but I actually got to stay there for the full 2 days. And because there's all the product there, I actually stayed and camped out at the booth and slept over. So it was totally a party like it was 1183, if you know what I mean. So that was a lot of fun. Had a great time. It was cold Saturday night, so obviously, you know, had to prepare for that. And then Sunday was beautiful. But it was a lot of fun. We did great. Everybody that continues to support the radio show and Mrs. Voice of Reason's product with Hoosier Health and all Hoosier Health products, I'm going to say this now, and I don't care if she's going to be a little grumpy with me or not, but I'm going to say it right now because the website for her is up and it is live, and she does sell product online and she can actually ship it to you all over the country. We haven't publicly officially announced it, so this is the unofficial announcement of the upcoming official announcement soon, because she wants to tweak some stuff first. But because of how successful things are, I just don't care. I'm just going to say it on the radio, and then I'll take the heat for it when I get home tonight. But HoosierHealth.com, HoosierHealth, H-O-O-S-E-R, health.com is the website where you can find all the products that she has, and you can actually order things and actually have it shipped out. Now, here's the thing. Because of the industry that she's in, being alternative medicines, holistic products, herbs, plants, supplements, you know, that are on the natural side that are in I have to say this very carefully, a possible alternative to pharmaceutical things, if you know what I mean, that it's very difficult for her to get credit card services. So we do have one, but the website doesn't accept that type. So the only way to purchase things online is through a PayPal. It's kind of strange. So we're working on that aspect of it. But we're getting things going. It's been very difficult because between my stuff being conservative political talk that is apparently frowned upon as extremist or radical against the government, which is kind of wild in today's times, and then her that's like against one of the biggest industries of the entire nation, we have this major target on our back, which is kind of fun, and I don't really care. So yeah, it's very difficult to be able to work through some of those red tapes, but we're working through it, and it's awesome. But the website is up. You can see everything that she has. And she's actually so popular that she's got three more fairs lined up for the next 3 weekends in a row. And things are going like hotcakes. So it's awesome. Thank you guys for all the love and support. You can check that out. We did post some of the pictures on the page, which you can find on Facebook at Hoosier Health on there. And follow her with all her great tips and stuff as well. That being said, it was a great weekend. And I will say that I am excited because for the first time, and I don't care if you laugh at me, I was super excited and I wore it yesterday. But I officially bought my kilt.
Say what?
I know. So I got a kilt and I did wear it on Sunday, and it was pretty amazing. It's a black one, and I wore one of my black metal shirts, In fact, for those that will understand this, it's a band called Amon Amarth that is a Viking metal band, and they're from Sweden, and they're actually like true quote unquote Vikings, I guess you could call them. And every year at the Renaissance Festival that I wear it, I get major response from people that they absolutely love it, because everybody in that, I call it the freaks and geeks community, like that, they totally get it and they appreciate it and they have fun with it. So I always wear my Amon Amarth t-shirt. It went perfect with my kilt, and attached to my kilt was my drinking horn, and I enjoyed the adult beverages of mead, and I ate a turkey leg like an animal and gnawed on it, and it was absolutely fantastic, and I was in heaven for the last 2 days. It was exhausting, but it was exciting. So back at it, really happy to be behind the microphone again and get back into normal life again and not be living in the 1100s, apparently. And there's a lot going on this weekend for sure. Let's jump right into it here, shall we?
What's going on in this world of mine? There's a whole lot of killing in this world of mine. Somebody's got to help this world of mine.
Okay, so Rebecca Terrell should be joining us bottom of the hour. She is a chief editor for The New American, thenewamerican.com. We have a lot to discuss with her. I want to talk with her and pick her brain on a few different current events and topics going on. But the big bash over the weekend, the big vote from the House of Representatives, a $95 billion foreign aid package. And I say foreign aid very loosely, because it does other things than just the foreign aid of actually assisting nations. Now, if you remember when we talked about it on Friday, we did talk about it on the national program over the weekend, that I still am a stickler of the fact that Republicans essentially have betrayed what they promised what they were going to do or not do, which was, according to Speaker Mike Johnson, all the way back since November of last year, all the way up until this point, said that we would not fund any additional resources to Ukraine until we passed an immigration bill. Obviously, we lied about that, and we turned back on that promise, and now we've passed a $95 billion package that supports Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan against China. It gives asset seizures from Russia, and it forces the banning of TikTok in the nation unless TikTok sells from the company of ByteDance attached to the nation of China. Now, it's over in the Senate. Apparently, they're going to start their 30 hours of debate tomorrow morning in the Senate, on Tuesday morning, for this one, before they apparently go back into another recess on Wednesday afternoon. And they're anticipating that it's going to be an easy vote for the House of for the Senate, which right now there are a few sticklers, a few people going against it, rightfully so. Rand Paul for one of them, Mike Lee. We'll go down that list here in just a moment for their various different reasons. But on Saturday, after the votes from the House of Representatives, which, if you remember on Friday, I talked about the process of it, on how I understand and I agree with how the process was essentially done. The stickler I have is Republicans keeping their promise. But how Mike Johnson did it was a smart way to do it, breaking it up into four sections to actually debate them individually, promote amendments to it individually. And whether that actually happened effectively or not, that's up for you to decide. But he did say this after passing it and kicking it over to the Senate Saturday evening.
I said these are not normal times. They're not. The world is destabilized, and it's a tinderbox. It's a dangerous time. Three of our primary adversaries, Russia and Iran and China, are working together, and they're being aggressors around the globe. And they're a global threat to our prosperity and our security. Their advance threatens the free world, and it demands American leadership. If we turn our backs right now, the consequences could be devastating. So this afternoon, the House acted, and we sent over to the Senate, and it will be transmitted shortly, our supplemental national security legislation. And make no mistake, this is not a blank check like the Senate supplemental bill was. This is very different. Instead of taking the path of least resistance and bringing up the Senate supplemental on the House floor, or just allowing a discharge petition to pursue, which come forward, which would have had the same outcome, we gave our members a voice. We gave them a chance. We gave them a better process and ultimately a much better policy. Unlike the Senate's blank check, the House legislation has a number of very important features. It provides for greater accountability over Ukraine aid. It forces an in-game strategy for the Ukraine war. It includes a loan instrument of this foreign aid to Ukraine and the Repo Act to ensure that Russian assets pay for part of the bill. And unlike the Senate's bill, the loan system itself is a House innovation and allows for much needed insight. Now remember that 80% of the Ukraine funding will go to the replenishment of American weapons and stocks and our facilities and our operations. It also includes tough measures and sanctions on Iran and Russia and China, which most of the American people understand is a necessity and a very important thing.
Okay, there's a lot there. I know that was a really long clip, but there's a lot of information there that kind of broke things down. Overall, the process of it seemed decent. What he talks about seems somewhat necessary for the most part, with replenishing our stocks, putting sanctions on Iran, which I don't know what that really does, because that's kind of a slap on the wrist for Iran when obviously they don't abide by those sanctions anyways. They just don't really care, and they continue to edge on Israel to continue to fight them and try to send missiles over for a greater conflict, which is what their end goal is. So whether you agree or disagree with all that is null and void. There's still the fact that Republicans betrayed the Republican voters by making a promise, then turning back on it. At the end of the day, pure and end of simple, whether this stuff's good or bad is up to you. I want to stay objective away from that for just a moment. And it's not about whether it was the right process, whether it was the right bill, whether it was good or bad. Just the fact that Republicans betrayed the fact that they promised not to pass it until immigration bills were put, which, by the way, they did try to put an immigration amendment into the bill, and it failed miserably. Failed miserably. We can't even put it in there. We couldn't, as Republicans, even with a one-vote majority, the majority of Republicands, at least, could have gotten together, banded together, and said, hey, if we're going to pass this, let's hold true to our word. Let's put in some type of immigration package, some type of immigration reform, and that way we can say that we did something about immigration, even if it was one of those where it's like, it's a bill, it sounds good, it's got a really fluffy name to it, it sounds like we can at least move forward in the right direction, we're aware of the issue, and we heard you Republican voters that overwhelmingly say that they did not want to send any foreign aid until we fix our own southern border, after video of what's going on at that southern border and the crimes that are running rampant across the nation. Even if we just pretended, like politicians do oh so well at pretending to give a crap about something and not really do something about it, if you could have at least done that, we would, I guess, pretend at least, you know, sugarcoated enough to where we could pretend to be somewhat happy about this. But it feels like just a dirty bill overall. Is it necessary? Maybe that's up for you as the individual to decide on whether that was necessary or not. Do we need to support our allies? I agree that we do to a degree and to an extent. But you failed us and you misled us with, again, a hopeful promise that you have let us down by not addressing the number one priority that we actually have. Now, that being said, the Iranian sanctions are not going to do anything to Iran. The seizure of assets to Russia, Joe Biden's been doing that for the last couple of years, taking away this, taking away that, trying to lock down the banks, trying to lock down this. And if you watch Tucker Carlson after his interview with Vladimir Putin, what was that, a few months ago, he did a video shortly after that of touring through grocery stores in Russia and saying that everything's still flourishing. Everything's still going. The people are still living their lives. The food's stocked in all the grocery stores. Everything's all hunky-dory. Everything's wonderful. And they say, apparently, that we're seizing all these assets. We're not. We're not doing anything to Russia. And or at least we're not doing anything to Russia that they didn't anticipate and prepare for, knowing of what was going to come during this conflict and the tension that was going to escalate between the United States and the nation of Russia. So these sanctions, these seizure assets that we're seizing from this country, is it really doing anything, or is it just the show to give support and continue to escalate this conflict over there, which is what the Democrats want?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into the program. So great to have you. 24 minutes past the hour. So now we have a major federal aid or foreign aid bill from the federal government sitting in the Senate. Now remember how the governmental process is supposed to be, because there's a lot of people, or at least I take that back, there are some people, mostly Republicans, that are against the bill because of numerous different issues, because of our promise as Republicans that we were going to do immigration reform before we actually worked on foreign aid packages. Others are concerned about the banning of TikTok. Now, remember, this is one singular bill of $95 billion, which, can I just ask the simple question? We just passed a federal budget, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden we have $95 billion that we're spending on top of that federal budget for foreign policy that I didn't know. Maybe it was, could be wrong, but I didn't know it was included in the federal budget that we passed a couple weeks ago. But nonetheless, we could be doing this on top of, which would make sense why we continue to hit our debt ceiling every fiscal year, and we're like, gee, we need to raise the debt ceiling again, huh? And it's largely because we just continue to spend ridiculously. But that's another side conversation that we can have later. If you remember the process of government, if there's money attached to it in the Senate, it has to go through the 60 vote threshold as opposed to a simple majority of 50 votes. Now, according to the media, they say that it's going to be very simple, very easy for them to hit that 60 vote threshold because the majority of the senators, Republicans and Democrats alike, actually support these bills. It's one singular bill that's $95 billion in total, broken up into four sections. That includes Ukrainian funding, that includes Israeli funding, that includes the Taiwan funding and sanctions on China, and then it includes the sanctions on, as well, China with the TikTok ban, and then it does the asset seizures of Russia. So it's got a few different things on here that they're discussing, broken up into about four different sections. Overall, and there's a few different concerns about each one of these. Obviously, according to Punchbowl.news, the main concerns from some Republicans and an independent, even Bernie Sanders, saying he's going to be voting against this bill, are as followed. Rick Scott, Republican from Florida, said that he wants to refer the bill back to the Appropriations Committee to add Israel-related provisions and do some additional support for Israel on top of what the bill already has. According to Mike Lee from Utah, they say that he wants to ensure that the loans, because remember, this is not just a grant to Ukraine, but it's actually going to be a loan. One of the amendments that was trying to be proposed by, I forget who it was in the House, tried to make the claim that we need to make sure that it actually is a loan and that the Biden administration, that Joe Biden, can't actually forgive the loan like he's trying to do with student loans. So Mike Lee wanting to ensure that the loan provisions for Ukraine, that when they get repaid, they actually go back towards paying down the national debt. Bernie Sanders, independent, said that he wants to offer amendments on centering for that portion of Israel spending in the package, whatever that actually means. Rand Paul is more concerned about the TikTok ban, saying that it's a violation of the First Amendment freedom of speech, with over 100 million Americans that are actually on the social media app of TikTok. All of them having their concerns, wanting to add their amendments and provisions. Here's my prediction for the bill. None of those would actually happen. None of them will happen because if you remember the process of the way government works, is that if the Senate alters the bill at all in any form, it gets sent back to the House. And the House, with already its torn, I guess, division between both parties and then within the sects of the Republican Party itself already, that it's going to be near impossible for them to agree on a new bill after the Senate if they revise something and try and kick it back to them. The fact that the Republican-led, and I say that with air quotes here, the Republican-led House ended up uniting on something to pass a bill was pretty monumental in the first place because most of the Republicans don't even want it, and yet they still are able to pass it to send it to the Senate. So I highly doubt that there's going to be any amendments or any changes to this bill being passed by the Senate. They have 30 hours to debate it starting tomorrow morning. They're going to ram it through. They want to be out of there by Wednesday afternoon when they adjourn, and then they want the president to sign it as quickly as possible. Why? Because Democrats run that chamber, and they really, 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 really want money to go and support Ukraine, so there's not going to be a back and forth. It's going to be a one and done, boom, end the conversation, pass it, and then the president can sign it to get it in action, and they can say that they were successful in doing what they do.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
73 degrees.
When reason meets radio, this is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome into it. Reason, common sense, rationale. That's just what we do here on the Monday, setting the tone for the rest of the week, which is what we love doing as well, trying to bring that common sense, cramming that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag, trying to rebrand the millennial generation, one radio listener at a time. So great to have you along. So we've covered a lot of ground on this bill now sitting in the Senate, going to be debating on it starting tomorrow. I guess their 30-hour debate. They need 60 votes. According to the media, they say it's going to be very easy to achieve. The few radicals, the right-wing radicals like Mike Lee and like Rand Paul concerned about freedom of speech with banning TikTok or with the Israeli provisions or like J.D. Vance. Apparently, there's a big battle right now between J.D. Vance, who says even if we do fund Ukraine, it's really not going to do much. And it's not going to win the war against Russia. And Lindsey Graham, who, of course, has been there for a very long time, more of an establishment kind of individual, has been railing on J.D. Vance about not knowing what he's talking about. We absolutely need to support Ukraine, which I've held the position that whether we do or don't is irrelevant at this point, that Republicans have betrayed us for pretending to say that we won't do it until we do immigration reform and then turning around and be like, never mind, we're going to go ahead and pass it because we tried immigration one time and it failed. So I guess we can't do it. We're just going to throw the towel in. Kind of crazy. We'll get to some of that and more here momentarily. Really happy to have on the guest back on here. It's been a little bit since we've had her on the show.
What's trending today?
As excited to have on her, she's with The New American, thenewamerican.com. We love chatting with them, and especially one of our favorite guests here on the program, Rebecca Terrell, back with us. Rebecca, how are you today?
You're doing great, Andy. Great to be back with you.
Oh, so good to talk with you. There's so many directions I want to go with this, but real quickly, your thoughts on this bill from Saturday's vote, $95 billion of foreign aid for Ukraine and for Israel and going after China with TikTok and doing asset seizures from Russia and then putting sanctions on Iran. This whole big package, which again, do we need to support our allies? I mean, we do to an extent. I think we've maybe hit that threshold for Ukraine already. I understand it with Israel. But at the end of the day, Mike Johnson promised us that we would not pass Ukrainian aid funding. And this was all the way back in November until we actually passed immigration reform, which I don't think we've done so far. So have Republicans again betrayed us and turned their back and voted on something that we didn't want yet?
Well, there you go. I mean, that's just one problem with it, aside from the fact that, you know, we say, oh, you asked the question, and it's a good question. Should we benefit for our allies? Well, we should realize that we are our allies. We don't have that much. Yeah, we have 95 billion dollars sitting around burning a hole in our pockets. No, we don't. This has nothing. And I challenge anyone to find anywhere in the United States Constitution authorization for the federal government to act in this way. And that really is that's the crux of the issue here, because everything that's coming out of Washington, D.C. these days is unconstitutional. It must be reined in. You know, people talk about, oh, this is, you have to protect our democracy. We don't have a democracy. Our founding fathers protected us against democracy, which always, always devolves to anarchy, which always devolves to tyranny. And we're seeing that happen. We have a constitutional republic that's ruled by law. The Constitution says you can't do that. Yeah. And just in case there's any ambiguity, we have the Bill of Rights, which says you can't do that. So, you know, and all this stuff about, oh, but we've got to support Israel. How could you support Hamas? No, I'm not supporting anybody. I'm certainly not going to support a country that was founded by the UN in 1948 for the purpose of keeping trouble stirred up in that part of the world. I'm absolutely, if anybody, oh, she's an isolationist. Absolutely. So is the Constitution. So is our rule of law.
Yeah,
if we're not going to follow that, it's chaos.
It is chaos. And you're right. And it seems like that's the argument that they make now when it comes to democracy, is that we're preserving democracy because we can't be the only democracy on the planet. So therefore, we need to preserve it elsewhere as well. And that's why it's so important for us to try and defend Ukraine right now, which I find kind of interesting because, like you said, we're not a democracy at all. But that's the talking point that they like to use right now to try and brainwash people into thinking that's what we have to focus on.
Sure, absolutely. And we've got to get more in the mindset of thinking, okay, pretty much everything, or let's just say 99% of things, are PSYOP. I mean, we've got all of these foreign entanglements. George Washington himself warned us against these in his farewell address. We could use a refresher course in that. And we're seeing what will naturally happen. We're seeing good, God-fearing Americans at being demonized, and all the J6ers that are languishing in prison. We're seeing pro-lifers sent to prison. And then we're supporting these murderous military engagements across the world. And all of it is aiming us to our world government. Oh, we must have the UN to keep the peace, to save us from these wars. How, when have they ever saved us? They've had a long time to do it since 1945, and they haven't done it yet.
Oh, come on. The Blue Helmets, they're there for us, though. They're going to protect us.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah. Let's bring it home to the home front here, and let's talk about some domestic issues and the rhetoric that's being used, because it's being used in the foreign policy issues. We have to do this or else, this fear-mongering, this paranoia, this intensity that they bring. But they've done it, obviously, on the campaign trail as well. Donald Trump's going to execute his political opponents. He's going to round individuals up. We heard on a podcast some lady saying that Donald Trump was going to throw black people back in concentration camps. We had Joe Scarborough literally say that Donald Trump would execute people. Hillary Clinton apparently over the weekend also said that Donald Trump really wants to kill or imprison his opposition and exile all journalists. I mean, this is insane. And then we have, and this one, I don't know if you've seen or not, I'm going to play this audio. It's a TV ad that's literally running in the state of Alabama on the abortion issue, about trying to make it illegal for those to go across state lines to get an abortion. For those that have not heard this, this is literally a TV ad running right now, but it works fine on the radio here. This is what they're doing. Now, okay, to set the stage, it's a mom and a daughter, a teenage daughter, driving in a car looking like they're in a horror film where they're panicked. They're looking behind themselves in the rearview mirror. They're trying to get to the border like they're some kind of refugee. And then this happens.
We're almost there. You're gonna make it.
Police pulls him over.
Trump Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for reproductive care.
Miss, I'm gonna need you to step out of the vehicle, take a pregnancy test.
Stop them by taking action at righttotravel.org. Campaign for Democracy Group is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I mean, are you kidding me, Rebecca? Please, enlighten me. This has got to be a joke, right?
I think they are. I mean, there's no universe in which that could be taken seriously. But I think that they're crazy enough to actually mean it. There's no one is restricted from moving about this country. It's absolutely asinine. It's a complete misread of all of the laws that are now on the books. And you know, there is no state where you can't get an abortion. Even states like Texas, doctors, you will always find unscrupulous doctors who will do abortions. So, you know, all of this, it's absolute lies. People say, oh, what if the mother's life is in danger? There is no case in which any OB-GYN would ever turn away a woman whose life is in danger.
Yeah.
Because of ectopic pregnancy or something, or miscarriage or something like that, where a woman could go septic. There's no case in any, and you can look up the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and they will explain this to you. No case. So all of these laws that say except for the life and health of the mother, that's superfluous. There is no case in which an OB-GYN would deny. And you know, I'm using the term abortion in a very general sense, because any time that a pregnancy is not carried to term, the medical term for that is abortion. It might be spontaneous abortion. You know, it's not an elective abortion. The laws on the books strictly apply to elective abortions. And let me tell you, too, if a mother's life is in danger, she's not going to go to the Planned Parenthood clinic. If she shows up there, they're going to send her to the ER. They're not equipped to handle that kind of situation. So what we're talking about is elective abortion, the murder, the intentional murder of innocent unborn children. And an ad like that that increases, you talk about misinformation.
Yeah.
That just increases the confusion and demonizes those who want to save our country from the curse that is put on it by the intentional murder of innocent life, infanticide.
It's wild. We're talking with Rebecca Terrell, thenewamerican.com. Do you think that this fear-mongering, this paranoia, this absolute just state of complete frenzy of what they're trying to say Donald Trump's going to do with this fear-mongering, with what these kind of ads do, does this work? Because, I mean, that state of paranoia and complete intensity, I mean, eventually, that's exhausting. That's not a long-term emotion that you can carry through an entire election season. I don't know how that's going to rally them to show up to votes, because after a while, you get fatigued and numb to it because it's just so intense.
Yeah. So true. Plus, how is that not actionable? I mean, that's outright slander.
Yeah.
If somebody said that about me, I'd be tempted. I'm not the type to just, you know, immediately be looking for a lawsuit around every corner, but good heavens, that's ridiculous. It's so far outside of reality, but there are so many people who will believe it because they've been trained in our public schools to believe anything that comes from, you know, comes from the media, comes from the government. Government's there to help you. So thank you to our public school system. And now in our public school system, our children are being convinced that the girls are boys and boys are girls and, you know, cut off your body parts and be happy.
Yeah, just make that a normal thing. It's wild. Rebecca, we got to take a hard break here. When we come back, I want to talk about, you have a piece out that's just come out recently regarding the January 6th issue, Supreme Court taking up some of this and looking at how we've actually held some of these individuals for so long. And as far as I'm aware, you can correct me as well, is are we actually formally charging some of those sitting in prison for January 6th? And is that, I don't know, a violation of due process to hold you for a year on end or 2 years or 3 years and not actually formally charge you with anything? What's the Supreme Court going to say on this? And how could that change the election as well moving forward with the Trump and Biden 2024 election? We'll do that when we come back. We'll talk about the rhetoric from the Democrats. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. And, oh, by the way, it's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to you. We'll do that when we come back. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome back into it. It is The Voice of Reason. It's a Monday, setting that tone for the entire week, doing our carpe diemisms like we do every single day here on the show, which is so great to have you. Happy Earth Day, by the way. You know what I did for Earth Day, or I guess for Earth Weekend? Well, first off, no, I did not partake on Saturday for the 420 celebrations, which I guess is a lead up to Earth Day. How ironic is that? No, I did not. However, what I did do at the Renaissance Festival this weekend is I ate a massive turkey legs. If you've never gone to a Renaissance Festival and eat a massive turkey leg, then you're missing out on life. I'm telling you, you gnaw on this thing like an animal, and it's fantastic and it's beautiful. And I did that a couple of, so I guess that's my contribution to Earth Day. I would like to remind for all the other on the other side of the aisle who's like, oh my gosh, we need to, you know, just completely stop all progress, like, you know, certain people, if you know what I mean.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
those individuals that, yes, conservatives, we are conservationists. We also like the earth. We just don't go crazy about it with our supporters advocating eating babies, which you remember actually did happen at a press conference or at a town hall meeting with AOC and one of her supporters. But yeah, we're conservationists. We like to go fishing and not catch three-eyed fish. We'd like to go deer hunting and not see tumors in the deer when we actually go hunting. We'd like to go rock climbing and go hiking and go camping and not see things littered and completely destroyed. What a wild concept, right? It's wild. Rebecca, have you ever had a big old turkey leg at a Renaissance festival? It's an experience you'll never forget.
I actually used to be a Renaissance woman when I was in Washington, D.C.
I love it.
Yes, I won. I won an award for a dish I made.
Oh,
yeah.
What was it?
Those are fun. Those are a lot of fun.
They're great. I bought my first kilt this weekend, and I wore it for the final day. I was so excited.
Oh, good for you. Oh, great. You're such a maverick.
I love it. Okay, so what? I got to ask you, what was the recipe that you won an award for?
Okay, well, we had a competition among all the states. So at that time, I grew up actually in Arkansas, and at the time, Bill Clinton was in the White House, and I made a gumbo and called it Bubba Gumbo, and I passed out all these dollar notes that instead of George Washington's face, they had Bill Clinton's face with blowing a whistle. You had to turn in your Bubba Bucks for your Bubba Gumbo.
I love it. I love it. Well done. That's fantastic. What a great experience that people have. We got just a couple of minutes left here. I want to ask you about the Trump case. Obviously, that Donald Trump's in court right now with some issues. We have the January 6th issue with the Supreme Court. But all of this madness right now, we got about a minute and a half left here. But I want to turn it over to you on what's this going to do to affect the elections, you think? And will Trump come out of this all right at the end?
I don't know. I mean, they're obviously after his jugular, right? They're going to do everything that they can to possibly. What's up before the Supreme Court right now is when we don't know the decision yet. We won't know until June, probably, but it will definitely be before they adjourn for this season. And all the judges in J6 pulled out this 1512C2, which is obstruction of a judicial proceeding, which, of course, the certification of an election is not a judicial proceeding. They pulled this out, though, because it has a maximum sentence of 20 years, where normally obstruction of just any other proceeding, which would include, you know, certification of an election, would be subject to a maximum sentence of only 5 years. And you see this, what the J6ers call massive judicial collusion, because all of these judges are referencing each other as, quote, precedent to impose 1512C2. So hopefully, you know, SCOTUS, it does seem like they are hearing this with the right, in the right vein, and going, well, it's pretty obvious on its face, so we're hoping good things. The only problem for most J6ers, it could help Trump, you know, to have that, to have those charges removed. But for other J6ers, a lot of them have already plea bargained, and so it's not going to affect them. There were a lot of sentencing enhancements imposed on them too. So whether it helps people is kind of going to be on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
So really we'll have to see. I mean, anybody's guess is as good as mine, but I think they're going to try to take Trump out any possible way they can. And the way things are so insane now, they might do it. Who knows?
They could find a way. Well, I will say that with how his dedicated supporters are, and even those that don't necessarily like Trump but see what the court system's doing to him, he's becoming a martyr, which is what they're trying to not make happen, but they're doing that by default, trying to squeeze him too tightly. And even people are seeing how ridiculous and corrupt the system is, which is very unfortunate. We got to get you back on to talk some more about this later on. It is thenewamerican.com. Go and check it out. Rebecca, we always love having you on the program. Thank you so much. Keep up this fight. Let's do it again real soon.
Thanks, Andy.
Always a pleasure. All right, back at it again tomorrow. Setting the tone, my friends. That's what we do here. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.